All right, guys, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3. And we're going to look at Mark, chapter 3. We're going to focus in on verses 1 to 6. Now, what we've been doing with our messages in these morning services is we've been focusing on the Gospel of Mark and trying to get to know Jesus. Now, I mentioned to you before that when we oftentimes find Jesus, especially when he's healing, there are three things that come out of the passage. We see, first of all, Jesus praying and getting alone with the Lord, and of course, we find out what the need is then. And then we see the faith of the individuals who want that healing to take place in somebody's life. And then we see Jesus do the healing, right? That's what we've typically seen. Today, in these first six verses of chapter 3, we're actually going to see something else. The gospel is going to shift now. And it's going to shift to the reality that not everybody's happy about Jesus. Haven't you found that to be true in your life? When you talk to people about Jesus, you have some people who are interested and they share with you what God is doing in their life, but then there are some people that you deal with are just indifferent, they don't really care, but then there's a whole other group of people, they just really don't care. And they really don't want to hear about Jesus. They're just looking, not just looking for something wrong with Jesus, they're actually looking, can we be honest, looking for something wrong with you. To discredit Jesus. So, I mean, if Jesus is that real to you, then why do you do this? You know what I'm saying? Why are you doing that? Why did you act that way? Why did you respond that way? And so people are looking for fault. And that's what we're going to talk about today. In these six verses, we're going to see a group of people whose only purpose when this incident happens is to find fault. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how that applies to our lives as well. So I want you to notice with me, let's look at the first six verses of chapter 3. Again, he entered a synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him and how to destroy him. All right, so let's take a look at this. Obviously, this passage is focused on a group of people who don't like Jesus, who are just looking for something to discredit him, to just deal with him. And so we're going to break it down into three sections, and we're going to see some things that we can learn from. So let's talk about, first of all, the ones who reject. Okay? We're going to notice that in verses 1 to 2. The ones who reject. Here's the first thing I want you to notice. When we look at verses 1 and 2, it's important to acknowledge that not everybody's happy about Jesus. If you haven't gotten to that place yet in your Christian walk, here you are, you're excited about what God's doing, you're excited about, man, I've been praying about this and God answered that, and then you tell people about it, you maybe tell somebody at work, or tell some buddies or whatever, and you find out that immediately there's a lot of people who don't really care, and they especially don't care as soon as you mention the word what? Jesus. And they don't want to have anything to do with it. And that's just part of life, right? That's just part of life. You may have family members. I have family members like that who don't really want to even have any concept that God might be alive. They'd rather not even talk about it. They'd rather you not talk about it. And this is the reality. You and I need to get to the place to realize that not everybody's happy with Jesus. Okay? In fact, when he walks into the synagogue, now we don't know which synagogue it is. It could be the synagogue at Capernaum. But remember, he's going around to all the villages in northern, in the northern part of Israel and the Galilee area. And so he goes into this synagogue to worship on the Sabbath. And there's a guy with a withered hand. And notice the focus of the passage is on people who are just waiting to see if Jesus will do, quote, the wrong thing. So these are people who just aren't really interested, not just in hearing about Jesus. They're wanting to discredit Jesus. And that's the world we live in, right? Here's the second thing I want you to see here. Some people are looking for a reason to reject Jesus. They're looking for a reason. Now, specifically with this group of people, they were looking for a reason because Jesus, in their mind, had to act according to what they believed. And so because he didn't do that, they could just write him off. Okay? They could discredit him and so forth. So they're just looking to find fault. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's true today. I find people to do that. So for instance, have you ever met somebody who says they want to go to church, and then they go to every church in the area, and they never settle anywhere? And so when you talk to them and you say to them, well, did you go over to such and such church over in Clearfield? Yeah, but, got that big word there, right? But they do this. Oh, okay. All right, I understand that. Then you say, well, what about, have you gone over to this church? Yeah, I went and visited them, but they do this. I don't like the way the preacher speaks there. Oh, okay. All right. Have you been to another church? Well, you know, they have a different belief concerning this. Well, that's not really significant. Yeah, but it's really important to me. So we're not going. So they never find anywhere, right? Because they're not really looking for a place. They're looking for a reason not to go somewhere. And that happens even among us, not just unbelievers. People are looking for a reason to reject. So they'll come into a place. Nobody talked to me. Okay, good. Did you hang around a little bit? No, I left right before the service ended. Well, it's kind of hard to talk to you if you're going out the door before the final amen, right? Do you see what I'm saying? People are just looking for a reason to reject. And these folks were looking for a reason. Why? Here it is. Here's the third thing I want you to see here about those who reject. Their traditions and preferences are more important than anything. So with this group of people in that day, in that synagogue, these were folks who, quote, were very strong about keeping the Sabbath. Now, for a Jew, keeping the Sabbath meant you couldn't do any kind of work. And for them, they felt, are you ready for this? This blows my mind, that healing someone was a work. Now, you and I are like, what? Jesus just simply speaking a word and somebody being healed, they viewed that as a work. And so therefore, when he did that, and he's done that before, they saw him as a lawbreaker. In their mind, he didn't fit with their way of doing things, with their traditions and their thinking. So therefore, he needed to be rejected, discredited. Now, let me just stop for a moment. I want you to understand something. You can't box God in.